Hey, welcome to The Great Relate. You have me solo today. Thanks for being here. And the one topic, it seems to be so cliche almost, but it seems to be out there so much, is this topic around boundaries and what they are and what they mean. And I'm just going to dig in because I think boundaries, I've come to love what they represent, not only in teaching boundaries to and how to use boundaries and what they mean individually for clients, but also for myself. I've learned so much, probably the most, about boundaries in doing it myself and setting my own personal boundaries. And there's not, as I always say, one size that fits all. You have to find what's needed. What are they? And my personal definition that I have come up with is they are intentional actions that serve to keep us safe as we grow, evolve, and clarify our truth. For those of us that are out there that are always wanting to be a little bit better, whether with ourselves being the best version of ourselves that we can, in relationship with our loved ones, in order to live authentically, live by our truth, live where we don't feel that we're compromising our needs. As we do this, we need to voice our preferences. And this is what boundaries are to me. So they help us decide really what types of communication and interactions are acceptable to us. And sometimes this is a trial and error. We try to unmold ourselves from who we were in the past, especially when we're trying to evolve. So it's intentional. We have to sit down and intentionally decide and figure out what we need. So we need to do this first before we can even figure out what our boundaries are. And I'll get into that a little bit later. So again, what they are, they're also preferences of communication and interacting with others. And boundaries are really subjective. So like I said, it's not a one-size-that-fits-all tool for specific situations. They're very unique to who you are, and they change. They change and evolve as we do. They're not set like this is a boundary we have and we're going to keep it for the rest of our lives or with each romantic relationship we're in, because we change and grow. They also really define our space, which helps us become more aware of our needs. This is a big one. A lot of us don't even know what we need. That's a big question. If somebody were to come up to you and say, what do you need? When you're having a big feeling, when you're frustrated, when you're angry, disappointed, feeling shameful, when you have that self-talk in your head and somebody comes up to you and says, what do you need? These would be cues around what boundaries would be beneficial to you. So another thing, our boundaries communicate to our loved ones what helps us connect to the best part of ourselves. So it's a way of authentically and sometimes vulnerably showing others what we really need. And that's easier said than done. Boundaries in action are clear statements or responses to how we need to take care of ourselves. And this is the big thing. I'm going to go into what they are not as well. But I always thought in the very beginning when I started to work with clarifying what my boundaries were, I always thought it was about the other person. I thought it was about stopping someone's specific behavior. And that's not the motivation of a boundary at all. They protect us from emotional harm. So they really, for me, in setting up my boundaries, they really safeguarded my time and my energy. And in turn, it really strengthened my relationships. So I can operate from this place of authenticity and what I needed and my truth versus my autopilot of how I've just always done things to meet others' needs. So it really helped me shift and change how I interacted and engaged with my loved ones. This is what boundaries are not. They are not a set of behaviors to control others. So we set boundaries for ourselves, not to control others' behaviors or reactions. Wouldn't that be nice if we can control others' behaviors or reactions? Yeah. Then we wouldn't have to set boundaries, right? They're also not walls that separate us from others. What's so beautiful about, one, clarifying your boundaries, two, actually setting them and putting them into action, is it helps us connect with our loved ones. But first, it's really vulnerable, because to set a boundary and to stick with it and be consistent is really hard. It's really, really hard. So instead of what we think of putting up a wall and separating us from other people, it's actually helping us connect with others, because we're coming from a place of our truth rather than our wounds, right? And boundaries are, it helps us grow and evolve. They're also not rules for other people. Boundaries are almost, they come from a place of our internal rules and what we need for ourselves. You know, it's amazing. I find when I'm really honest with myself, I was such, and I'm a recovering people pleaser. In being a people pleaser and a number two on the Enneagram, it's interesting. It's counterintuitive, but the people pleasing was a way of me controlling people, was a way of me controlling people's reactions that I was uncomfortable with. And in setting up boundaries, we only can control what we do, what we say, and really most importantly, how we express and talk about our feelings. So accepting this is probably the number one challenge of being in relationship with our loved ones, parenting, being in romantic relationships, and with our close friends and family. But once we do, once we accept this fact, this is the point that we surrender. We surrender, and there is such freedom in surrendering to the fact that we cannot control how other people feel, how other people respond, or what they do. We set ourselves free when we accept this. Because it's only then that we can really start owning what's on our side of the street. And it's really hard to do this. It's hard to not have expectations of others, because we do. But it's part of this process of clarifying our boundaries and putting them into action. So before I get into how to start setting boundaries, I think it's, you know, really important to establish why. Why do we want to set them? And there's a couple of reasons. One is we want to be in relationship with our kids and loved ones from our truth instead of our wounds. We are on complete autopilot. When we operate from our wounds, we are pretty much unconsciously asking our kids to take care of us. And this is not their burden to take care of us. It's ours to figure out how to take care of ourselves emotionally. And setting boundaries are a way to start figuring out how to go about doing that. The other thing is, when we set boundaries for ourselves, we're establishing what ours is to deal with and what our loved ones are to deal with. There's a big difference. You own your stuff. I'm going to own my stuff. That's what you're saying when you set boundaries. So this goes back to learning really to surrender to what we have control over. One thing when it comes to prior to setting, you know, really learning how to clarify is, how do I know when I need a boundary? How do I know when I need to set a boundary? And the first step in creating some awareness around this is to start taking notice of how you're feeling. So if you were to just take 1 week and you were to write down feelings that you were having, because feelings can be such a huge cue that we need to set a boundary. So for example, where do you usually get annoyed? Feel hurt, upset? Where do you feel unheard or unseen? When do you most often feel resentful? Oh my God, this is such a big one for me. Feeling resentful. And this resentful is such a, took up so much space for me for such a long time in my relationship with others. Listening out for that self-talk or narrative around I should or shouldn't, I have to or I can't. Those are usually precursors to big feelings of resentfulness. And when you hear yourself in this narrative, you know, when you are having some of these big feelings, these can really be a signal of not taking care of yourself. You know, all the people pleasers out there, because I'm right there with you. For me, what I would find myself doing is I would turn myself into this martyr. So my resentfulness of either putting too much energy into others, putting others' feelings before my own, not feeling that what I was going through was important enough to share with someone. I never felt that my feelings were valid, and I expected other people to validate them. And I would turn into this martyr of, why do I have to do everything? Why don't other people see what I'm going through? Don't they know that I want them to want to do things for me rather than asking them to do it? So I would turn into this martyr, and really martyrism is just self-pity. It's really what it is. And it's so much easier to be a martyr than to set boundaries. It's so much easier to be pissed off and be angry and feel guilt than to set a boundary. And that's why I think a lot of us don't do it, is because it's not easy. Setting a boundary takes a lot of courage, and it puts us in a really vulnerable place because we have to be transparent. And that's tough, especially with our kids. So when our needs are not being met, or we feel that they're being compromised, we need to think about setting a boundary. You know, maybe we have a hard time saying no. like we're giving too much. We need to be aware of these feelings. This is when we know it's time for a boundary. We need to reflect. We need to take notice of these feelings and write them down. The second thing we need to take notice of and write down when we have these feelings, what's going on? Who are you with? Who are you engaging with? What are you doing? Like, what is the circumstance? You know, what's going on in the environment? The third thing to take notice of is, right, when you're having these feelings and what's going on, who is it with, and what's the environment? The third thing is, how do you usually react when these feelings come up in this situation or environment? How do you show up? How do you respond? Do you stuff it down and become resentful? Do you lash out? Are you really, really sarcastic? Are you passive aggressive? You know, complacent? You know, do you hold it all in? Do you go and go run, you know, run 5 miles or go work out really hard to get rid of it? Like, what is the action that follows? How does it show up? So let me give you a couple examples. You know, this was a really simple one. Is I have had family members live with me. And when my son, he just went off to college this past year, but you know, when he was at home too, there were times where people in my family would leave dishes in the sink. Oh, and by the way, the dishwasher's right next to the sink. And this would just tick me off. Like, how much effort does it take to put the damn dishes in the sink? Or, I mean, put the dishes in the dishwasher. Not too much. Then I would, so you have a pile of dishes in the sink, you open up the dishwasher and it's empty. Right? It just made no sense to me. I would be irate. But guess what? What would I do? I would clean up the sink. I would put the dishes in the dishwasher. Or if the dishwasher was full, I would unload it, right? Tell me you've been there, right? And I would get ticked off. And then that would grow into resentment. But I would always do the same thing. I would clean it up. I would clean it up. So it got to a point where I'm getting ticked off and no, everybody's just keeps on putting dishes in the sink. So this was an example of me, okay, I need to set a boundary. Now you ask yourself, do I tell people I'm setting a boundary? You can. You can. But it's not about expressing it in a way where you're in a place of resentment or being angry. It's you are making a choice to take care of yourself. And so it was sitting down with the family and just expressing to them, when you do this, it makes me feel upset, dismissed. Like you don't care, like you don't appreciate the things that I do. And the only thing that I'm asking you to do is to put the dishes from the sink into the dishwasher. I'd really appreciate it. So it's asking, but then it's not putting the dishes back in the dishwasher when they leave them in there. It's expressing how you feel. And it's using those I statements, like, I feel this way when you do this. And I need to start taking care of myself, because all I'm doing is I'm getting ticked off and I'm feeling resentful. I'm feeling that I do so much and that asking you to do this little thing and when you don't is just showing me I'm taking it as you don't care. and I don't want to feel like this anymore. So you're being transparent. Another example I found was when my son was younger, his father and I got divorced, and I would pick him up at his dad's, and I would always be a little concerned, like, ooh, how was the weekend? Did everything go okay? You know, if Max was maybe a little quiet or upset in the car, I was thinking that something went wrong. Like, my anxiety level would go up when he would get in the car. I would come pick him up, and he'd get in the car and it would be silent. And so what would I do? The feeling I was feeling? Anxious, thinking that something went wrong. I'd have this narrative in my head. And he's quiet. He's on his phone. So I would start asking him questions. How was your weekend? What did you and Dad do? Did you have a good time? And I would just get these one-word answers. And I kind of get ticked off. Like, why is he, like, I'm trying to connect with you here. You know, I haven't seen you all weekend. What's going on? I'm trying to engage. And I want to know how his weekend was and what he did. But it was about me, right? So I would let my anxiety get the best of me. And I had the audacity to actually say to him, you know what, Max? It's not always about you. It's not, you know, you didn't ask about how my weekend was. You know, this is a two-way street. And holy cow, when I look back at that now, I'm like, that was all about me. I learned so much that my anxiety was just a mask for the deep guilt that I felt for the divorce. And Max jumping into the car, and I just wanted him to be okay. And it was an overcompensation of the guilt I felt around him having to split his time between his dad and myself. So I had to set this internal boundary that when I was feeling anxious around Max's behavior or reaction to my anxiety, that was something that I needed to own. It wasn't Max's to own. It wasn't Max's responsibility to take care of my feelings. So I needed to set that internal boundary in the sense of, and this wasn't even something that I talked to him about, setting my internal boundary, is that when I started feeling anxious, I needed to figure out what was going on. You know, because when you're able to know and name your feelings, it's a huge part of creating the right boundaries for yourself. It really helps us understand what's underneath our behaviors at the time. So I just found it so important to spend some time becoming aware of these like patterned behaviors that I was feeling time and time again, and taking note of when they would come up and how powerful they were. You know, it's not every feeling you have is going to be a pattern, right? But you do find that when they come up, when someone does something or in a certain situation comes up. And this is what I want you to just start writing down and getting curious about and taking notice of. There's so, in my big Achilles heel was how Max was feeling. Anytime I felt that Max was, or made an assumption that Max might be struggling, or Max might be going through a hard time, or when he would be a little bit quiet or withdrawn, my anxiety would completely hijack me. But it's in these places that when we engage with our kids and our loved ones, that and our emotions get hijacked, that this is the sweet spot, right? This is the place that we learn. This is it's a learning moment. And as hard as it is, this is where we don't really want to react. We don't want to respond quite yet until we can become aware of what's underneath some of these feelings and taking notice of some of the patterns. And before we even get to the point of what's the boundary I actually need to set, it's taking notice of these things. Taking notice of the feelings, taking notice of the environment, what's going on, who are we engaging with, and then what's our usual default reaction when these things are going on and we're having these feelings. The one thing I want to point out in the example I gave with Max is because I was being hijacked by my feelings and my anxiety, I really had a hard time discerning between his behavior and his need, right? Now, even though I had a, knowing that, there's no way that I can discern between his behavior and need until I start doing it with myself. My behavior is feeling that anxiety and asking tons of questions and being intrusive and judging and being resentful, right? But what's my need? What is my need? My need really is just wanting to connect with Max. That's what it is. And that's not his responsibility at all. I also wanted, I had this habit of if he's okay, then I'm okay. And if he's not okay, then I'm not okay. I mean, a lot of the time, obviously we do this all unconsciously, but this is what we need to bring to the surface. Because I think we underestimate really how much we put on the plates of our kids to take care of how we feel. So I have my one last example is, I remember when, my husband, my current husband, this was a while back, and this is when we first got married. Wow. I was a control freak. I needed to do everything. I'll take care of everything. You don't need to do anything. I'm blow drying my hair before I go to work. I'm getting ready for work. You know, the dog needs to be fed. I still need to pack my bag for work. I just got Max on the bus, so I'm trying to frantically get ready. And my husband comes in to the bathroom, and I'm stressed as hell. And he's like, hey, is there anything that I can do? Because obviously he was sensing I was a little stressed. And he's like, you know, do you want me to feed the dog? And I just remember, like, no. I got everything. Like, just go to work. Like, don't worry about anything. I got everything. I'll do it. And now I feel myself getting pissed too. And I just start bawling. I just start crying. And my husband shuts off the blow dryer and he says, okay, why won't you let me feed the dog? Just let me feed the dog. And it was at that moment that I realized, well, it just confirmed I was a control freak, but it was so hard for me to ask for help. It was so hard for me to maybe someone else was going to think that I couldn't do everything, that I was incompetent, that I didn't have everything under control. And that if I couldn't do everything for everyone else, that they were going to think different of me. And this is when I'm an adult, for Pete's sake. Now, obviously, that narrative was something that I brought into my adult relationships from my childhood. But these are the things that, like the behavior, the intense feeling that I was having didn't match the circumstance. And these are the things that started to become red flags for myself to take notice of and to really ask myself, what is it that I need? What's underneath this behavior? So knowing and naming these feelings is a huge part of creating the right boundaries for ourselves. Again, it helps us understand what's underneath it. What's underneath this behavior? What's underneath these intense feelings? So it's really important to spend some time on becoming aware of these pattern feelings, because I really want you to learn not only how you feel and being able to name it, but also how we operate from them, how we get hijacked. What shows up? How do we show up when we're attempting to navigate these strong feelings? Because this is the place that we usually engage with our kids and our loved ones. It's from our emotions, these intense emotions. Once we become more aware, now what? How do we actually set a boundary? We decide where boundaries need to be set based on what you know. All these things that you wrote down, all these things that you became curious around, and you're starting to see a pattern. And it doesn't matter. They can be big or small. Remember, it's about what you need. So maybe you started noticing strong feelings when everyone, you know, including the dog, barges into the bathroom when you just need 5 minutes to relieve yourself. So maybe asserting a physical boundary, you know, maybe it can sound like, hey, you know, I'm going to make a simple request that you knock or ask to enter, you know, before opening the door while it's closed. That's a simple boundary. It's a simple physical boundary, right? Another example, my husband, he would always want to cuddle in the morning. Me, when my eyes open, bing, I'm up. I want to get a cup of coffee. I want to go running. So I would usually acquiesce and stay in bed. But guess what? I started feeling resentful because I wouldn't have time to go running before I started my day or went to work. So I knew I needed to set an internal boundary because he's not a mind reader. So it would sound something like this. You know, hon, when I get up in the morning, it's my sacred time. I love the morning. I get my coffee, I get dressed, and I love to go for my runs. They're so cathartic for me. So when I stay in bed with you, instead of having, you know, going for a great run and having some me time, I start feeling resentment build. And I don't want that for myself or for that to impact us the rest of the day. Because guess what? My resentment leaks out. It leaks out in small ways. That passive aggressiveness, that martyr comes out, right? So it's as simple as saying that, but this is the thing, you're owning it. I'm not, you know, I can't be pissed at him anymore thinking like, oh, he's being selfish. He wants me to stay in bed when I want to go out for a run. No, no, no. When you set a boundary, you're owning how you feel. And what's beautiful about that is you're not, you're letting other people own what they need to, and you're owning what you need to, because you can't control what other people do, say, or react. So what about time? What about a time boundary? Does there need to be a time of day or a window of time that you need for yourself or for work? A lot of the time, you know, I would put work on the back burner. I would do everything for everyone else, and then I would treat my work and career at home as a side hustle. And it wasn't getting the attention. I was just doing everything half-assed because I wasn't setting time boundaries for myself. I wasn't allowing myself windows of time where I wasn't available, where I wouldn't answer the phone, where I wouldn't respond to an email, where I wouldn't be able to do something for someone else, even though in their mind, maybe they thought I was available. So we don't have control over the assumptions that other people may have about us either. So time is also something that you might consider setting a boundary around. What about boundaries with your kids? You know, the way that they talk to you. Are they screaming at you? Are they telling you, you know, I hate you, you're not fair, this isn't fair? Are they raising their voice? Are they acting up at home? You know, are they on their phones at the table? You know, whatever it is, you know what it is. Are there some boundaries that you need to set for your kids? And again, when you're setting boundaries and when, you know, because some boundaries you don't need to share with other people because they're internal boundaries and you just need them for yourself. It's another way, right, of taking care of yourself. Some boundaries you do want to share with other people, your loved ones, because they can't read your mind. This is the thing I want you to keep in mind, is it's fascinating that when we set a boundary, and I want you to be ready for this, when you set a boundary, your loved ones are going to look at you like, what the hell's going on? Why are you acting like this or not acting like this or responding? You will become so aware of the dance that you have been doing with your loved ones. And when you stop the dance by setting a boundary, the other person is going to take notice and have a reaction. Because they're going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's go back to how it used to be, because this is not comfortable for me, or this does not serve me, or I don't like it this way. So when you start doing a different dance or you stop dancing based on your boundary, it's going to take time for your loved ones to either, one, learn the new dance and respect it, or decide they don't want to be a part of it. And that's okay, because what you want is to not be a part of the unhealthy dynamic anymore within your relationships. When you start setting boundaries, wow, you get so enlightened to how much a part you were to that unhealthy dynamic. And that's the, it's, there's no shame in saying like, wow, I contributed to this unhealthy dynamic. I was a big part of this. It's actually a great thing, because you're at choice and it's something that you have control over. So boundaries are clarifying when you set boundaries and when you become aware of why you need to set these boundaries based on journaling and becoming more feelings aware. What's beautiful is you're clarifying what your preferences are. You're clarifying what you need. So when someone actually does come up to you and say, what do you need? You know how to answer that question. So feel free. I would absolutely love to hear from anyone around some of the challenges in setting boundaries, in some boundaries that they set for themselves and clarifying what they need and what came to fruition from it. Was it more self-respect? Was it more respect from others? What came from it? I would love to hear. You can email me at larapostma@gmail.com. Or you can go on my website, thegreatrelate.com, and contact me through there as well. But I would love to hear from you, to hear some of your challenges, what worked, what didn't, or some of your boundary success stories. So thanks for joining me, and have an awesome week.
You've been listening to The Great Relate podcast, hosted by Lara Postma. To learn more about The Great Relate or get access to customized coaching, check out thegreatrelate.com. Subscribe to The Great Relate on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll catch you in the next episode.